please.
830, adopt the Old Town Chinatown Five-Year Action Plan Extension 2019-24.
Colleague, 5 years ago, the City Council adopted the Old Town Chinatown Action Plan through Ordinance Number 186744, which is on August 6 of 2014. The plan has been a comprehensive community development initiative to create a vibrant, economically healthy neighborhood in Old Town Chinatown, and it's resulted in a number of significant accomplishments. The plan focuses on three basic objectives. First, to attract new neighborhood investment to activate key properties and improve district connectivity. Second, to promote business vitality by increasing employment and retail activity. And third, align resources and build local capacity for improving district livability. Old Town Chinatown has experienced tremendous progress toward achieving these broad objectives in terms of growth, building renovation and redevelopment, and the arrival of more than two dozen new businesses and retailers. Thanks to the Prosper Portland and City Bureau staff and the many members of the community who've partnered over the past 5 years to bring positive change to this neighborhood. We still have much to accomplish, of course. Prosper Portland and the community see a clear and significant need to continue investing in projects and initiatives that focus on neighborhood, business, and district vitality. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the Prosper Portland Director, Kimberly Branham. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners. I'm Kimberly Branham, Executive Director of Prosper Portland. Excuse me. I'm joined by Lisa Abroff, Director of Development and Investment. We're very pleased to be here with you today to provide an overview on the progress made on the 2014 five-year Old Town Chinatown Action Plan and to seek approval for an extension to an updated action plan. You'll hear three main themes this morning. The first is that public, private, and community partners have made significant progress in the last 5 years. Many of these partners are in the room with us today, and you'll hear from some later, but I want to personally appreciate the collaboration and efforts that have gone into that progress over the last 5 years. The second is that Prosper Portland and these partners remain committed to the vision of a vibrant, economically diverse neighborhood that maintains Old Town Chinatown's unique character and rich cultural assets. And the third is that there is no single entity or sector that can achieve this vision alone. Not the public sector, not the private sector, not the community. It's going to take all of us working together. We believe that the holistic targeted interventions that you see here in front of you today provide the foundation on which this coalition can move forward. So I'm going to touch just very briefly on the context for the plans, and then Lisa's going to provide additional information on the progress that's made and the proposed update. So the Old Town Chinatown Community Association, Prosper Portland, and City Bureaus formulated the 2014 action plan based on quantitative and qualitative analysis that highlighted a lack of critical mass of retail that serves residents and visitors with a heavy density of social services and entertainment uses, some of the highest crime rates in the city, stagnant development as the economy slowly recovered, and access barriers on all sides with a lack of a left turn off of West Burnside and no stoplight at the time at Northwest Cooch and Broadway. 5 years later, it looks a little different. There's been significant employment growth, strong cultural and community organization development, an influx of young, diverse entrepreneurs, and We also still have retail vacancies that will provide additional opportunities for local businesses. There are continued challenges around the perception of the neighborhood and the crime rates. There are also public and private development opportunities that are poised for redevelopment. And there are
Commissioner Hardesty,
please.
Sorry.
Sorry, Kimberly. My question, I'm struck by this perception of the crime rate in Old Town.
Sure.
Because it was my understanding that when Right to Dream 2 resided in home in Old Town, that there were no calls for police services in that area. And so has there been this uptick in criminal activity since Right to Dream 2 has moved out, or why? Just doesn't fit my worldview of what I understand was true there. So I'm just curious where that data came from.
So do you have additional data?
We do. We have public safety data that we could share, and just looking at it, it looks as though the sizable increase between kind of 2016, so I think it was a bit after Right to Dream 2 had moved to another location, is mostly in property crimes and society crimes relative to kind of person crimes. And we can share that. And I'm not sure, Helen Yang is also here with the Community Association. There's been a lot of work there's been a joint task force, so they can probably speak to that more directly.
I'll look forward to that. But I guess when we present this as like factual information, yeah. I would love to see the data and where you got that analysis from. Yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely. And as we consider the public and private properties that are poised for redevelopment, we also acknowledge that there are continued hurdles faced in redevelopment through the concentration of unreinforced masonry and the cost hurdles associated with that, as well as the need to find replacement parking as surface parking lots move into more productive uses. So with that, I'll turn it over to Lisa, and then you'll hear from some of our key partners.
Thank you, Kimberly, and good morning, Mayor and Commissioners.
Morning.
As Kimberly mentioned, Prosper Portland does have a long-standing relationship with the Old Town Chinatown community that actually goes back before the action plan. We've made significant investments in projects like Land Sioux, Saturday Market, the Oregon College of Oriental Medicine, and U of O being really important anchor institutions in Old Town, as well as working with Mercy Corps. The original action plan, as the mayor mentioned, was adopted in 2014 and had the three key areas of neighborhood investment, business vitality, and district livability. And those three areas, as we went back out to the community, remain their priority. And based on our focus as Prosper Portland on business and community-based development using tax increment resources, we'll share that our investments are largely in the neighborhood and business vitality priorities, and then general fund resources have been really important contributors to the district livability priorities for the community. And Mark Jolin with the Joint Office of Homeless Services, as well as Helen Ying with the Old Town Chinatown Community Association, are here and can speak to those priorities a bit further. So again, just kind of a recap, one of the things that we reopened when we took a look at this extension was whether the geography still held true for the community, and in fact the community did want those resources continued to be committed to the geography you see here. It's important to note it overlaps two historic districts as well as two different tax increment financing districts, with downtown waterfront, where the sizable resources are serving kind of south of Burnside and a couple of blocks north of Burnside, and then the River District area. And that the community's priority is really along the historic avenues of 3rd and 4th Avenue. The 2014 plan was developed in close partnership with the Community Association, as has this extension, and we met with individual residents, businesses, and property owners as well within the community, and then working closely with our bureau partners, and in particular early on with the Portland Bureau of Transportation. As Kimberly mentioned, connectivity was a big issue early on, as well as the Portland Police Bureau, the Portland Police Bureau as part of the Joint Task Force. So key outcomes coming off of the 2014 plan, I'm just going to put a finer point on some of the original goals and measures of success of the original plan and where we are today. So one of the original measures of success was for 500 new moderate income housing units to be introduced into the neighborhood. That's important for this particular community. 3 out of 4 units of housing in the area is long-term stabilized affordable housing. And so a mix of income units has long been a desired outcome for the community. We're happy to say we reached 260 of those 500 new moderate income units, and some of that was thanks to a pilot SDC deduction that we're actually not asking for as part of this extension, because we feel as though both the market as well as inclusionary housing can continue to deliver on that mixed income. The projects were at 38 Davis, and then there's actually one currently under construction at Southwest 3rd and Ash that will introduce 133 new units, and then also the renovation of the Erickson Fritz. The second was this area has a sizable portion of the historic brick buildings in Portland, and so there was a goal for 5 renovated historic buildings and or new construction, and we're happy to say buildings like Society Hotel, the Hoxton Hotel, and the Overland Warehouse, which is right behind Prosper Portland's offices, have all been renovated and preserved, as well as PNCA moving into their new campus home. We had a longstanding goal for the community around really kind of digging into surface parking and understanding how to support historic buildings through the replacement of surface parking as those lots redevelop, and that continues to be an outstanding item for us to work on with the community. And as Kimberly mentioned, connectivity was one
of
the...
Can I stop you there?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I've been getting heavy social media traffic in the last 24 hours, and social media is social media. It is what it is. But I want to dwell on this because I understand there's probably some people here today who want to know if this is a secret plan to increase parking garages, and I want to dispel a couple of myths. Number one, this plan does not actually call for any new parking. The problem here is from referred to in the plan under 131 is the loss of surface parking as development happens in the community and additional retail.
Yep.
If there was a decision made to build more parking, that would either have to go through your board, I take it, which is public, or it would have to come to City Council. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So the main question from the perspective of the proponents, the plan is replacing the surface parking that is lost to development.
Yes.
And do you still support the goal of reducing overall car traffic coming into the city of Portland, or do
Absolutely.
You oppose that?
No, we're very supportive of that goal.
There is a number going around saying that we have supported $50 million in new parking garage construction, or are committing to $50 million in new parking garage construction. My understanding, we have 10th and Gleason.
10th and Yamhill.
And Prosper's role in that is the first floor retail development. The rest is a renovation of an existing garage facility.
Yes.
And then there was the parking related to the new headquarters hotel on the other side of the river. And
yes.
I feel like I'm missing something. What else is there?
Well, I'm not sure, but there's $50 million that's anticipated going into Old Town Chinatown for the entirety of the action plan on the over the next 5 years. So it sounds like people might be conflating the resources that are available that are largely going to go to the community development priorities that you're hearing.
So 1.3.1 is a reference to a community conversation about parking issues, is it not? Or is there more there that I'm missing?
And frankly, Mayor, that you know the Bureau of Transportation is really in the lead on those conversations as you would anticipate.
Well, and so Commissioner Udaly has been very crystal clear about her view with regard to people driving in. And I mean, Old Town Chinatown has some of the best public transit probably anywhere in the state, would be my guess. Has multiple modes.
I think that's right. I think we know that in order to maintain and support the long-term businesses that have been there that are now reliant on surface parking, and to avoid displacing or having to take down those buildings or not being able to tenant them, that we need to find a solution to replace the parking, and to do so in line with the transportation system plan and with PBOT, but we are not anticipating increasing the capacity of parking.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. That helped a lot because I was getting a lot of communication as well about us spending $30 million on parking, and I didn't think that was the city I lived in, so I'm glad for that clarification. I guess my question is, we are not anticipating replacing parking spots one per one, are we? We're thinking new designs, new visions, we're thinking protecting the infrastructure of some of these historic properties.
Yep.
So is that an accurate statement?
That is an accurate statement.
I've been sitting next to him too long because now I feel like I'm actually... giving the answer
to the question.
That was scary. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You very
That's
much,
helpful.
And then the next
thing
slide.
Next thing they'll start saying Mayor Wheeler when they address you.
I think all those.
And then just to touch upon, the action plan also had goals around business vitality and supporting both new small businesses as well as living wage jobs in the district. And we're happy to say that the district has seen a growth of over 600 new jobs and $97 million in added wages. We've added retailers to our community, small local businesses like Mimi Ramole, Charlie's Deli, Deadstock Coffee, Ground Control is expanding in the area, as well as multinationals. And we've also seen job growth occur through a similar combination with the likes of Pencil Academy kind of expanding in the area. Anchor Moisson actually tenanted the 38 Davis. And then there's also MoveL Software, as well as the University of Oregon, as important employers in the district. And finally, particularly with relationship to the district livability, our investments have been primarily through our community livability grants that have really focused on supporting community organizations like the Chinese Garden, like Central City Concerns Employment Access Center, and like the new Portland Chinatown History Museum, which opened last year. And with that, we'll kind of reveal the updated priorities, which look very similar to the previous ones. Again, the community really felt like we were pretty on the mark in terms of the three categories that they had identified 5 years ago, and they really wanted to focus in particular areas with this renewed commitment. The renewed commitment really looks at public safety and livability within the district livability areas. And then on behalf of Prosper Portland's investments, we have a kind of increased commitment and emphasis on equity and entrepreneurship, community organizations, and property redevelopment. So as we think about our projects, there will be a renewed commitment to thinking about the small businesses, the investment opportunities, the property owners that we're supporting. And then as we look towards kind of the future investments, what you'll note is we keep our $57 million commitment whole. And as Kimberly mentioned, the $57 million is not anticipated to be the 100% of investment or commitment that is needed to achieve the outcomes and goals of this action plan. It really will be a partnership with both community-based organizations and nonprofits who bring important resources to the table, as well as the private sector and general fund, as we think about the district livability priorities for the community. And in particular, kind of more near-term and immediate focuses of Prosper Portland will be around providing ongoing support to key cultural institutions. Our board just last month actually took an action to sell a ground floor condominium unit to the Nikkei Legacy Center, which will allow it to own its space and remain long-term in the district. We are happy to announce that we're entering into development partnerships with two entities on Block 25 and 4th and Burnside. So we are pursuing partnerships with Key Development and Colas Construction on those two projects as we move forward redevelopment of those two sites, and in focusing our small business loans and grants to supporting local businesses and entrepreneurs with a particular focus on business and property owners that are owned by people of color.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. My question has to do with the $30,000 commitment from the general fund mm-hmm. to support the community association district manager. Mm-hmm. This tools and resource guide says this is from 2019-20 to 23-24. Mm-hmm. Is that, are we making a commitment of the general fund, or are we making commitments of Prosper Portland's budget to support this over the year?
School year, right?
So the general fund, it would be for just one fiscal year. The action plan is a commitment to prioritize the resources. The way it's been operationalized is we come back each fiscal year with that request based on general fund availability.
But we were awarded it.
So I'm not sure you answered my question.
This reflects the fact that City Council in its last budget authorized $30,000, and so this just reflects that commitment for 1920.
But
well,
to be
I
clear,
guess
it's
my
not
concern,
a guarantee.
My concern right. is this says 1920 to 2324.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And so it appears that we've made a commitment of general fund resources. So I just want the record to show that's Prosper Portland's budget and not general fund. If that commitment's being made, it can't be made from the general fund.
Okay. Understood.
Am I right?
Right.
Okay. Thank you. And then the last one has to do with the city bureaus. Mm-hmm. Your document says to support one point of contact, invest in street outreach, mm-hmm. et cetera, mm-hmm. and work with other bureaus. What is that going to look like?
I think that might be an opportune time to hand it over to Mark Jolin and Helen Yang, who have been participating in the joint.
Before you do that, though, because the next slide says questions. So is that questions as to the action plan?
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you. This is not the time to necessarily thrash out the issue, but based on the fact that LUBA has reversed us on a land use decision we made in Old Town Chinatown, which has significant consequences mm-hmm. to development patterns, mm-hmm. Is it the position of Prosper Portland that we can live with 160 feet?
I think we are deferring to City Council in terms of that decision.
Mayor, is the council going to take this up, or is it the position of the city that we can live with?
It's the position of legal counsel that the appeal run its course. The property owners have the right to appeal. It's my understanding they either have appealed or they plan on appealing. They have appealed mm-hmm. to have, I'm being told, and legal counsel advises us not to take it up until that appeal's run its course.
Okay,
it's a fast-track appeal.
So the property owners affected... So the property owners affected by the reduction in height have a right to appeal the LUBA decision. At that point, it will come back to council. And do we have a commitment then that at such time as that appeal is heard, and those appeals are rarely successful, that it will come back to council for a decision?
Absolutely.
The second thing that I want to observe is that, Director Branham, you began by saying, and I agree with you, that there's a lot to celebrate, a lot of success here. Now, the headline in all the media will be a five-year record of failure, because that's how this has been treated from the get-go. One of the things that I think is important to acknowledge is that we learned something very powerful in Lentz and Gateway, mm-hmm. which is the city cannot get in front of the market. Yeah. We can try to prime the pump. Mm-hmm. We can try to do all kinds of things. But Lentz and Gateway didn't happen until private money came in. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because the city had its urban renewal district necessarily. It's because private money looked at this and said, here's an opportunity to invest. And we are still waiting for additional private investment in mm-hmm. Old Town Chinatown. Mm-hmm. But I think it would be a mistake to say that if we continue to see lackluster development, that's a function of Prosper Portland and a failure. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is the marketplace. And as long as there are other places people are willing to invest, mm-hmm. until such time as the money flows into this district, mm-hmm. it's hard for you to leverage development mm-hmm. On your own, even with, as it turns out, mm-hmm. The changes we made in the height. The third thing I want to just observe is that you mentioned Lansu Chinese Garden in a slide earlier. And I don't know that my colleagues are fully mm-hmm. briefed on this, but there is a historic opportunity to acquire a land owned by Northwest Natural, which is to the north of Lansu. And just like the Japanese Garden has gone through a major renovation and a $36 million upgrade, if without land, Lansu cannot expand its footprint. Mm-hmm. So the $4 million in the budget is dedicated to acquiring that land. Mm-hmm. Those negotiations continue with Northwest Natural. The Parks Bureau may have a role to play.
Yes.
There may be some environmental issues with the dirt mm-hmm. that you're going to explore.
Yes.
And in your due diligence, mm-hmm. and I understand you've asked for an extension of time for
yes.
those negotiations
yes.
up to 9 months. Is that correct?
That's all correct, yes.
Okay, and I just want to say, Mayor and colleagues, this is one of the most exciting opportunities. I'm thinking that somewhere Vera Katz is smiling.
Yeah.
That this land is available mm-hmm. for the expansion of the Lansu, because without this opportunity, Lansu would continue to be a treasured resource but constrained by its own footprint. And I wholeheartedly support the acquisition of the Northwest Natural mm-hmm. land and the vision of a cultural center, an expanded footprint, and then potentially a hotel that serves the whole district. So I just want to put that on the record.
Very good. Commissioner Fritz?
No.
Commissioner Udavy?
Thank you.
Great. Thank you for the presentation. Excellent. Carla, do we have people signed up for public testimony?
Yes, we have five people signed
up. Very good.
Up. The first three, please come on up, are Shedrick J. Wilkins, Lightning, and Ruth Ann Barrett.
I thought we were going to have Helen. Invited speakers.
Kimberly, do we have invited right. testimony on this?
We do.
Oh. Sorry.
I show Mark Jolin and Helen Ying.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. Let's go ahead and do that. I apologize. They're invited speakers, so they're part of the presentation. So you might want to hold off until their testimony is complete. Well, they might give you more items to talk about as well. Sorry. Thank you. Good morning, Helen. Sorry about that. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Good morning. Do you want me to go first?
Go ahead.
Okay.
So thank you for inviting us to come. And I just wanted to first acknowledge we're excited. The Old Town Community Association is excited about the extension that we're coming to ask for your approval for the five-year action plan. I just want to say the first 5 years, Commissioner Fish mentioned that, you know, the public might see that it was a failure, but actually it has helped us to lay a firm foundation. Right? The five-year action plan is actually an excellent model of public and private partnership. And we, as a community association, is at a different space. The community, the neighborhood, is in a different space today. And particularly, I want to mention that the board of the community association is a different makeup than what it was 5 years ago. And particularly, just want to mention that it consists of four residents, two social service representatives, an educational institution representative, art history and culture institution representative, and four business representatives, and both representing the day business and the night business. I just want to give you a broad stroke of how comprehensive this board is made up of. And earlier, I think Commissioner Hardesty had asked about the funding piece for the district manager. We actually have taken time to reflect back on what should be the role of this contractor that we are contracting. And so we have actually created a new title and a new set of focus for the contractor. We are calling the contractor a community development director. So his work is more than just managing a district, but really to help develop the neighborhood. And I just want to invite you personally to come on September 14th. Our community development director has helped us organize a festival for that day. It's the Old Town Creatives Art Festival. It starts at noon, and it goes to midnight, actually, because we have this bridge of day and night businesses. And we're going to be featuring underrepresented artists during that festival. And so now that you're Commissioner Hardis is back, I want to mention about the funding that you had questioned earlier. So the five-year action plan had dedicated funding to help with hiring someone to come and help with the revitalization work, and it's $30,000 grant per year. And we're in the fourth year, and we're glad that the city has continued with this grant for 4 years in a row. But the community itself has raised the $30,000 matching for that grant over the long haul. And going forward, we're committed to continue to raise the money, but the entire amount ourselves. So we've already raised over $120,000 over the period of time, and we're on track to meet the goal this year. And going forward, we are developing a sustainable model to fund this position so that we don't have to continue to just keep raising money. And so we're looking at, we're becoming a 501c3, the community association is, and we're looking into a business membership model where we could, you know, ask the businesses to support this work. So really, again, it's that public-private partnership model. So recently, we're excited.
Commissioner, one moment. Commissioner Hardesty, thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Helen, for that information. So I want to be clear. I absolutely know the need of having paid staff to help coordinate the work. It was really an internal question that I had. What pot of money was Prosper Portland going to use in order to keep their commitment, right? And so the conversation was really about them not committing to city council to general fund resources, which are limited. But as long as they're committing their budget, I'm totally fine with that, right?
Okay.
So that was the question. It had nothing to do with the need and the support of this public-private partnership. So I just want to be clear about that.
Thank you for that. And I just wanted to mention this because I wanted to highlight how much the private part, you know, the community association is dedicated to raising the funds to match this grant from the city. And I just want to also, you know, just give some examples of new energy coming into the neighborhood. You already heard about all the different entities that have joined the neighborhood. And you know, recently, the Tribune had an article about the revitalization work that's going on. And OPB just invited us yesterday to be on their Think Out Loud to talk about the new energy that's happening in the neighborhood. So we're excited about that. And lastly, my point, another point I want to make is regarding the work that Mark Jolin, director of the joint office, has helped us. As you might remember, we have come before you, is it 3 years ago, Mark? I'm trying to remember when it was, when the city and the county wanted to set another shelter in the neighborhood, and we had fought to say, because we already have an over-concentrated number of social services in the neighborhood, and we cannot add anymore. And when the city said, you know, that we're going to go ahead and do it anyways, we said we have to have a task force to really come up with a set of comprehensive strategies to help mitigate the livability and public safety issues in the neighborhood and also address, you know, the social service needs in the neighborhood. So the task force actually came together and was formed with the help of Mark's office, and we started our work in April of 2018.
Yep.
April 2018, and we completed the work May of this year in terms of coming up with the strategies. We have 55, and we'll be coming to you again to present more in depth what both those 55 strategies are, but we actually also form an implementation committee, because we know if we just have strategies sitting, you know, in some writing, it doesn't do any good. So we have an implementation committee that's organized. We are in our second month of that, and we already chose six strategies that we're going to actually start implementing. And one of the things that I'm actually organizing is the education piece. We're coordinating the collaboration of our social service providers. We have met twice already since then, and we're having a series of open houses to inform and educate the social service providers so that how they could work better together in the neighborhood. These are all the Old Town social service providers, starting with the first open house on September 26th. Then after the first series of that set of open houses, we're going to open up to the public, a broader public, to help everyone to understand. We would invite you to come and participate as well, what kind of services are available and who the people are that are being served, and how can the public be a part of, you know, this ongoing need that we have to meet the needs of our people who need social services.
Thank you, Helen. Commissioner Fish, thank you, Commissioner Fritz.
Helen, you've provided such stalwart leadership, not just in the action plan, but with CCBA and with all the good things that are happening. So you have our debt of gratitude. And I'm just curious, if at some point the Greyhound bus company and the buses leave the where they're currently from the bus terminal, and we have an opportunity to reimagine that part of Old Town Chinatown, what's on your wish list?
Wow. Well, one of the things that we have always worked toward is having a balance in our neighborhood. What has caused some of the things that have inhibited us or barriers is because the imbalance is going on right now, right? So in order to have balance, we need to have people living in our neighborhood. So housing is a big priority for us. And it's hard for me to just pull something up in there to answer that question right now. But I do believe, you know, having a thoughtful process involving the community, as we have over time with like the 4th and Burnside parcel and the Block 25 parcel, you know, those were all very helpful conversations where we engaged stakeholders to come up with an informed set of recommendations.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner Fritz.
Helen, thank you so much for all the volunteer work you do with the Community Association. And it's really exciting to hear that you're able to self-fund the development. What's the term you used?
It's a community development director.
that the community development director, that the kind of the seed money that the council put in 5 years ago was matched, and now that you're the businesses are so vibrant in Old Town Chinatown that they can take on that funding ongoing. So congratulations, thank you for all that you do with the community association. It's really much appreciated, and you're a great partner.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Helen. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Mark Joel, and I'm the Director of the Joint Office of Homeless Services. I'll probably touch on a number of points that Helen just also spoke to in terms of the task force, but it'll give you a little more historic context for some of the recommendations that we made and that I think are also advanced through the extension or the proposed extension of the five-year plan. So for a little over a year, the Joint Office of Homeless Services supported the work of a task force that started out as just Old Town Chinatown, but later expanded to include the Pearl District. The task force, as Helen said, first came together in response to the plan to site a new shelter for people experiencing homelessness on Northwest Hoyt. From the beginning, the charge of the task force was more than just planning for the new shelter. The city and the county, through the joint office, committed, as part of the discussion about the shelter, to work with local community stakeholders to develop a more comprehensive set of strategies related to public safety and the improvement of social service delivery in the neighborhood. And from the beginning, there was a recognition that the work of this task force should align with the Old Town Chinatown five-year action plan that was already in place. When the Navigation Center replaced the proposed Hoyt Street shelter, the Pearl District became part of the task force, but the charge of the task force did not change. With input from a wide range of stakeholders, including businesses and homeowners, affordable housing tenants, social service providers, people with lived experience, and a variety of government entities from the city and county, the task force first developed a good neighbor agreement for the Navigation Center, which, as you likely know, opened and welcomed its first guests last week. It will ultimately have 100 people staying at it at any given time, working on transitioning out of homelessness and back into housing. Once that good neighbor agreement was complete, we developed a set of recommendations to improve social service delivery in the neighborhoods. That process started with the convening of more than a dozen social service providers and participants in services, along with the task force members, to learn how we might improve social services. The recommendations ultimately ranged from improving information about services to better coordination of services and the expansion of available services, like access to behavioral health care in particular. We then used a similar process of convening practitioners and stakeholders to develop a comprehensive list of some 25 recommendations related to improving the sense of safety for everyone in the neighborhoods. These recommendations included everything from foot patrols to activating public spaces to improving training for private security to improving the responsiveness of law enforcement to the safety needs of people experiencing homelessness and to expanding criminal justice diversion programs. A number of these recommendations directly align with the larger commitments within the Old Town Chinatown five-year action plan to improve overall community livability. As Helen said, with any set of recommendations, they are only as good as the ability to follow through on their implementations. So it is encouraging to us to see that with the proposed extension of the five-year action plan, there is a commitment to implementing some of the aligned task force recommendations. Given the values, voices, and collaborative work that shape those recommendations, I'm hopeful that they will help Old Town Chinatown thrive and be a model of an inclusive neighborhood into the future. Thank you.
Thank you both. Appreciate it. Thanks for being here. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you both for your presentation. And I want to echo my appreciation for Helen, who's been just a strong community volunteer for at least the last 30 years that I've known you. It may have been longer, but we won't go there. Thank you for your work. It's greatly appreciated. And we're finally seeing some results of some of the your passion in the community. So having said that, I tend to go to the dollars and cents of the matter. And when I look at the tools and resources, it's really undetermined what the investment from city bureaus are to be as we move forward. When are we going to know specifically what we're asking the city council to commit to? Because I'm already getting concerned about the next budget allocations, because I feel like we're being set up for, like, but you said, right, you support this and you voted for this, and we're going to come back in a few months and have to put our money where our mouth is. So how soon will we have enough information to know what's the investment that other bureaus are going to be asked to make in this extension?
So I would leave that to the Prosper Portland folks, but I can assure you the vast majority of this is TIF funding.
Is TIF.
Yeah, I mean, you raised the question, and I agree with you on the $30,000 match for the coordinator, and that's a year-by-year decision based on the will of the council.
Well, you know, I see that the neighborhood investment, business vitality, and district are all TIF funding, but when you go to other resources and you have the city bureaus listed with to be determined each fiscal year, that sends warning signs off in my mind.
Okay. So, I don't know, Kimberly, if you have more to add to that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you both.
I will accept the fact that this will be a future conversation. Right. But
of course, the homeless services is all general fund. It's 100% at this point.
Well, which is, again, my concern of us making commitments of general fund resources so early on.
Yeah. No argument there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you, Mayor.
Kimberly, did you want to respond to that, or is that, we'll just leave it? Then some of it's going to be housing funds. Here, I agree with you.
Thank you. So we were just huddling with Mark because I think what we're anticipating is a mixture of continuing the work that's happening now, with the exception of the acknowledgement that City Council has invested for the last 3 years at the $30,000 level, and that this is the final year, 1920 is the final year, and the request will not be coming back. And so we want to come back and loop back with our public safety partners, with the joint office, with transportation in the event that there are outstanding priorities on their end, to have a coordinated approach. And so we should be able to do that in the coming months.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. Testimony. Thank you all for your patience. First three, come back up.
Cedric, it seems to me you were here earlier testifying in this manner.
Deja vu. Okay, I'm Cedric Wilkins. I'm a resident of Chinatown Neighborhood Association. I live in the HUD Yards apartment, which is HUD, and every morning I get up, I feel like I'm living in London, England, because I get to see Big Ben at the train station. I'm 50 feet from the Pearl District shelter that they're building, right? I see a big problem with the Bud Clark Commons is fine, all the way down to the Sisters of the Road Cafe. But I can tell you right now, I went and talked to the Sisters of the Road Cafe. Would the Pearl District shelter have any influence about the Greyhound bus station, which is a terrible situation? The city rouses people that camp there. I have to say this, and I don't want to turn on homeless people, but I do not believe people should be able to, or should camp out or camp at the bus station, anywhere near the bus station, okay? And we need to get ways to get them out of there. What I didn't like is I asked the Sisters of the Road Cafe about this, about the Pearl District shelter, would allow people places to go around the bus station, and the Sisters of the Road Cafe is not interested at all. They believe in camping rights, that people have the right to camp around the Greyhound bus station. It wouldn't matter anyway, they're rousted every other day. And that's a central transportation spot. Chinatown Neighbor has the only helipad, helicopter pad in Portland. It's got the two light rail lines going right near the bus station, but it's really a bad thing there. And I could be accused of turning on homeless people. If you're going to camp nowhere else but that place, if you want to keep it look like a Swiss train station, you've got to solve that problem. Maybe you should put a gate or something where the Bud Clark Commons is next to the Multnomah County Health Building. So the two people can't intermix. You could still walk over to Sisters of the Road. But the mixture of the two does not work. And I may turn on homeless people camped out at the Greyhound bus station, because they're going to get rousted every other day anyway. So, which makes me look at elitist, like I'm living in London. I'm over 55. I'm under HUD. I'm on food stamps. Like I'm an honored London citizen. But that's the way it is. You know, put some bobbies there and keep them off the sidewalks near the bus station.
Good morning.
I'm next.
Please.
Hi, I'm Ruth Ann Barrett, and I'm a resident of Chinatown. I live a block and a half from the bus station. And I'm here, I'm going to read, I'm really here to push a little report I did that I put in to the process.
Thank you.
And I'm just going to read the two recommendations I'm making. I don't want anyone to think I'm not supporting the fact of putting the money back into Old Town. That would be kind of stupid. But I do want to point something out, and that is that I would like to see the mandate for quote unquote market rate housing be eliminated in all public documents. It is totally unnecessary. You can really consider the economic mix or diversity of any building using public funds by Prosper Portland in the RFP process. It is unnecessary to mandate what I consider gentrification. Now, this gentrification is a little different than past gentrification activities in Portland, which I've come to understand has been significant. And that is, we are not throwing people out. We are keeping them out. So by stating market rate housing, and I know many of you, Mr. Fish included, are much better at housing and understanding the complexity of the problem. But the first time I read market rate housing in 2014, to me that was code. That's code for white and affluent, and Asian, I might add, as that population also is affluent and part of the target for market rate housing. As all studies have shown, pretty much, market rate housing means luxury housing. It's not, as they say to me as they pat my head, it's really middle-class housing or medium-income housing or middle-income housing or one of the 5 to 10 terms used to really not address who is it that you're putting that sign out, who is included in not being able to participate in market rate housing. In this attachment, the fact of the matter is, in the last 5 years, they've done great work at bringing affordable housing and market rate housing into balance, and now they're going to kick it all the way out. And so there's pie charts, and I just hope you have a chance to look at them. I think this is part of institutional discrimination, and I think you can just use the word housing. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning Super Connecto. I like the direction that Prosper Portland is going, so I do approve the extension, and I will continue to do an overview. Some of the concerns I do have just personally is that I think when you removed R2D2 out of there, you removed them out of the neighborhood. I would have much rather seen Ibrahim Mubarak be given the land and to develop a multifamily commercial type use building there under their name and to actually have the private and affordable bond money be used to do that, to show that people don't have to be moved out of the neighborhood to remain part of the neighborhood. That's gentrification, to remove all those people out of there at its highest level. And who's doing that right now? Because you didn't want them as neighbors in the community long term. Issue number two, I'm looking at the Union Station and the Greyhound bus facility. I'd like to see that more vibrant, almost be turned into a recreational type center, possibly a community swimming pool, other aspects all in that location, to where you enter the city through that location, you look out there and go, wow, look at the community and the people, and build it off of where the U.S. Post Office is, having little artists out there doing their artwork, community centers, just where you walk in and you come in. I just love this place. That's my first impression I saw right there. Again, I'd also like to have more negotiations on those height limits. I don't like height limits myself on buildings, and I'm sorry to say. I think a height limit, in my opinion, is the same thing as someone building a wall to keep you from going from one country to the next. Now you're building height limits to keep people from coming into those communities by building up as high as you can to have housing for them. The same concept, the same ideas, in my opinion, is what you're doing. You're no better off than someone doing a wall on the southern border. Issue number two, I think we should extend the boundaries. As you know, Harbor of Hope is not within the boundaries of Old Town Chinatown. I don't know why that was even brought up on the Navigation Center, but my position is I would like to extend that boundary all the way out to the new baseball stadium and have that brought into the Old Town Chinatown.
Where's the baseball stadium?
It's going to be down on the waterfront, down on one of the terminals, if you just keep going down NATO Avenue all the way out there. They've already proposed it, the Diamond Project. So what I'd like to do is see that boundary taken out so that becomes part of Old Town Chinatown. And I think that's going to be representation of the energy in revitalizing Old Town Chinatown in a way that I think would bring them the investment dollars, but done in a reasonable manner, as the individual stated, to create balance, to create balance. Amazon, Old Town Chinatown, baseball stadium. Step up to the table, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The last two who signed up are Tony Jordan and Charles Bridgecrane Johnson.
Good morning. I'm Tony Jordan. Thank you, Mayor, for bringing up some of the concerns that I addressed over social media.
Thank you.
So specifically, I think that actually the concept that this action plan, which item 1.31, the one about parking garages, in 2017, Prosper Portland entered into a memorandum of understanding with Guardian Development around Block 33 in order to attempt to build additional several hundred spaces under a proposed development there and buy 400 or 500 parking spaces to lease some back to the development. That was probably in the tens of millions of dollars if that had gone through, which it didn't. Earlier this year, the city has done some projections on looking into expanding the NATO Davis parking garage, adding potential levels on top of that, which one of the higher estimates there was about $17 million for parking. I know they've looked into talking to the Greg Goodman family as part of the developments that they're doing to redevelop surface parking lots, which will, I mean, replacing surface parking lots, surface stalls, will cost, in structured stalls, will cost $50,000 to $60,000 each. So while it's easy to say we're just replacing stalls and this isn't millions and millions of dollars, it adds up very fast to millions and millions of dollars. And while we're spending that money, if we spend that money, which I know is TIF, but still that's, from my understanding, potential property tax money that would actually go into the city's general funds or the county and come down. So this is real money, potentially. And what I am concerned about is the loss of opportunity when we spend, you know, if you're removing a parking space from a surface lot, and then you're going to build a structured spot for $50,000 or $60,000, you're spending $50,000 or $60,000 to remain one commuter spot into downtown. And that's going to take you 20, 30 years to pay off. How else could we spend that money now, today? How many bus passes can that buy? How much additional transit can that buy? How much housing can that underwrite? To say that, you know, if we're replacing these one-to-one, we need to reduce car trips. So if we're replacing them, we're not reducing. And we're actually adding a lot of parking in the post office. A lot, right? That Broadway redevelopment, it's right there on the edge. And there is a lot of parking going in there. So to argue that we're somehow going to run out of parking in downtown, I mean, we need to reduce the number of trips. It's already congested. So I think that in the light of, you know, this is fossil fuel infrastructure, freeways, parking garages, Zenith Oil Terminal. I mean, those are all things that, like, we're at an inflection point. And I just argue that this is not leadership that we should be doing. We should be shutting down the idea that we're going to build parking garages with public money in this city in 2020. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. Charles Bridgecrane Johnson, for the record. Here to the not real need for parking garages in an area that's served by more MAC stops than most people could ever imagine being close to. So parking garages with helicopter garages on top, not the way we need to go. It is interesting to just look at this area because it's not, the action plan is not just Old Town Chinatown. We're going all the way from kind of southwestish across the river. The new things that haven't been mentioned, the new Wyndham World Resort over there by Pine Street Market, Kells, all that is down there in the Skidmore Historic District. Inside here, we have another, what we, for some strange reason, still insist on calling the new Chinatown Japantown Historic District. Fortunately, we did hear that Nikkei Foundation has made an arrangement, I guess, with their landlord or their property owner to, I don't know if they're going to own the whole building or condo the space, but I think it's hard for you to even make decisions on what to do here because the information here includes a 10-page glossy, but not very many facts. It doesn't break down the percentage land use that's currently with surface parking and specifically talk about it. You know, right? The map, this little gray and white map, is inaccurate. There's still an undeveloped lot where Right to Dream 2 was. Right now, you go stand at the Chinese Gate. You know, that property, which I believe was bought by PDC, hasn't dovetailed with the market, as Commissioner Fish pointed out. The market is really in control, regardless of what we do with incentive financing, supposedly. It was interesting that he mentioned the Greyhound station, because if you were ever to go in the Greyhound station, that's sort of below your pay grade, that what you make as commissioners now. When you go in the Greyhound station on the south side, near the loo, are about 20 toilets that we have security guards that prohibit residents of Portland from ever getting close to those toilets. So when we talk about the smell of urine and feces in Old Town Chinatown, it's the intentional policy of the City Council and the Portland Development Commission to make toilet access in the train station and in the bus station difficult to impossible. So, you know, shut up about the urine and feces smell there until you take the proper action to make people get to the toilets that they need. I was glad that the gentleman talking about the parking situation mentions that. It's kind of also weird that we have this action plan and it doesn't dovetail with what's still a post office and also a food cart parking garage, parking lot. You know, the backside of the post office still has these supposedly distressed entrepreneurs who were stunned that we're going to get a Marriott Corporation, Rich Carlton in their business place. That's out of the district. But we need facts and comprehensive planning, not a glossy brochure. Thank you.
Very good. This is a resolution. Any further discussion? Call the roll.
Hardesty?
I think there's a lot to be excited about in extending this agreement for Old Town Chinatown. I am very concerned that the city, I am hopeful that the city will be a better partner this time and that we're much more thoughtful about really what it is we're hoping to achieve with this ongoing action plan. I believe that we have the opportunity to do it right. I am concerned about how delayed we are going to be based on the appeals that are taking place and what will or will not come out of that. But I think I'm comfortable in knowing that there's a vision that's working very cooperatively with the neighborhood. I do have some concerns about what Clean and Safe will look like in this new extension. How are we decriminalizing a lot of transient houseless people who live in that area? And how we can be less reliant on law enforcement responses to people who, quite frankly, are ill or have nowhere else to go. It is heartbreaking to see the people that hang out in Old Town all day, every day, with no access to resources. And so I hope this helps to build or revitalize businesses in Old Town, as well as take a humane approach to the people who are trying to survive on the streets outside of Old Town as well. So I vote aye.
Hugh Daly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, first I need to declare a potential conflict of interest because I own a home in this plan area with my son and daughter-in-law, which I didn't own when we first adopted it in 2014. I'm really pleased with, as Helen Ying said, the foundation that the first 5 years has bought, and definitely now is not the time to take off foot off the gas. Really excited that the Community Association, which is a neighborhood association and a business association, and they really do a great job of responding both to the historical aspects of their neighborhood and to working together to do really great things. And thank you to Prosper Portland, the outreach that you've done on this extension with 6 public meetings and all the other outreach has been exemplary. I'm very excited to support it. I'm very pleased that we're not continuing the system development charge exemption that was, I think I voted against it in the first place because of that issue.
I think you and I both did.
Yeah, so I'm happy to see that maybe it's that helped, maybe it didn't, but I'm glad it's not going forward because as in all the other areas, we need to continue to maintain our infrastructure and to make sure that newcomers pay into the system. So with that, I'm very happy to thank staff and vote aye.
Fish.
Well, excellent presentation. Thank you to Director Branham and her staff for giving us an update. Thank you to Helen Ying and to community members for taking time to come testify. Helen, you deserve some kind of medal for the work you've done. I'm not just talking about your marriage to Stephen, I'm talking about your work on this project. We have lots of things going on in my bureaus that interact with Old Town Chinatown. We're about to put in new sewers that unfortunately will be disruptive, but we'll make sure that the infrastructure is updated for the next 100 years. The opportunities with the post office site redevelopment give us a chance to reimagine the North Park blocks and the pivot at PNCA to the new park spacing, the park spaces that have been imagined for the post office site. I think the North Park blocks at some point are going to be in the line, the queue for a refresh. The lot in front of the Pacific Northwest College of Art, which is now a parking lot, is actually parkland, and at some point needs to be developed in harmony with what we're doing to the north and the south. I'm very excited about the prospects of supporting the Lanzhou Chinese Gardens expansion plans, and I hope someday for there to be not only a cultural center there, but a hotel and a world-class dim sum restaurant. But that's very exciting, and Parks has a role to play on that. At some point, I'd like to see Darcel's legacy in this district highlighted in a more profound way. I think we're going to have, as a council, a chance in the future to talk about that. But Darcel has had such a profound impact on Old Town Chinatown. I think we can do better. Good report. You know, what's going to happen is that by the time the LUBA appeal is finished, there's going to be a recession. And so we're going to be even further backed up in terms of development. But, you know, to Lightning's point about height, I just got back from a vacation where I was in New York, and they had built these point towers for wealthy people that went up into the sky as far as you could see. And first of all, I don't know who'd want to live in one because they actually sway quite a bit. They're so narrow. And second, no one could afford one. The top unit at one of these buildings sold for $240 million.
Wow.
But third, it destroyed it destroyed this sort of harmony of Manhattan's skyline. We have to remember that Old Town Chinatown includes a historic district, and we have to be also mindful that that when we cast shadows in that district, it affects things like the Lanzhou Chinese Garden. So we have to be cognizant of that. And I hope, my own personal view is, I hope the LUBA appeal fails and we come back and adopt a 160-foot rule, because I think that makes more sense. Anyway, thank you very much for the presentation. I vote aye.
Wheeler?
Well, I want to thank everybody who was involved in this, Director Branham, Lisa Boff, Helen, thank you again for your longstanding leadership, Mark Jolin, who was here to give a presentation on the homeless services. Many, many people came together from the Community Association to help shape this extension. It's comprehensive. It focuses on neighborhood investment, business vitality, district livability, and a whole host of other issues. And it is an excellent plan to build on the progress that's been made since 2014, and I'm strongly supportive of it. I just want to thank everybody for having this vision, and I look forward to continuing to help lead in the capacity that I can with the Joint Office and Prosper Portland and the Housing Bureau and other bureaus in my portfolio. I'm 100% behind this effort, and this is a great example of what happens when the community leads. Thank you. I vote aye. Next item.